on the Father's Day edition of Rosie on the House. Good morning, Arizona homeowners. We're in the garden from 8 to 9, like we always are, with our good friend John J. Harper. We'll be talking about tips on mulching this morning. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about water. That's right. It's just three molecules. It's so simple. How come the water treatment industry makes it so confusing? So y'all stay tuned for that. If you ever thought, considered, or wondered about water treatment, water softening, this is the show for you. Stay tuned because we're going to straighten out a lot. We are going to debunk a lot of advertising myths on that topic. But we're in the garden here this morning. Gardens are under a wee bit of stress right now. And what can we do to kind of to inch them along through the summer season here, Mr. Harper?
Well, of course, one of the things that you need to do is make sure they are getting enough water, speaking of water, and make sure your water system is working properly and delivering water where it should be, and measuring the water and measuring your output and making sure that, you are watering adequately. But a little tip on vegetable gardens, flower gardens, rose bushes, fruit trees, is to use some type of organic mulch or compost, bark, shredded anything organic. It doesn't have to be composted if you're putting it on top as a mulch. Pine needles, leaves, you know, every part of the country usually has something that's maybe indigenous to their part of the country. In the Southeast, they call it pine straw. It's just pine needles. And they heap those on top of the ground around their trees and in their flower beds. You know, out here, we just don't really have, you know, I mean, crushed
mesquite
granite.
Beans.
Yeah, mesquite beans would make great compost or great mulch. If you go out in the desert, that's what you'll find on the ground underneath mesquite trees or Palo Verde beans under Palo Verde trees. It's part of why our desert trees grow like bushes. They grow down to the ground to shade the soil around them. What you're trying to do is shade the soil, cover the soil, keep the water from evaporating out of the ground so badly. In that process, the roots stay more evenly moist. They stay cooler. They don't dry out as quick. Your water is more efficient because it doesn't evaporate out of the soil faster than the roots of the plant can use it up. It's kind of like putting a wet, cool, wet washcloth on the back of your neck if you're really hot. It just kind of cools everything down. It allows the plant then to kind of keep up with the amount of water that's going out through the leaves, and you will notice a huge difference on how your plants look and react during the hot part of the day if you have organic material 2 to 4 inches deep around, especially small plants, maybe plants that aren't quite so heat tolerant like vegetables and flowers and roses and fruit trees. The other bonus you get from putting this material on the ground is that it does cut down on weeds. You know, it suppresses weeds by shading, again, covering and shading the ground. If you do get weeds, they're really easy to pull out. You're just pulling them out of this nice, soft, organic material. So number of reasons to do it, but if you want plants that normally might suffer a little bit and you want to see a huge difference, try doing this. And you can use, you know, any kind of organic material, shredded bark, leaf clippings, trimmings. Doesn't have to be composted because you're not putting it down in the ground, so it's not taking nitrogen out of the soil.
And any nursery garden products or garden center, I've seen like a Force Magic, I think is a name that I've seen. I've been to Growell's plant down on 27th Avenue at the dump multiple times and pulled out from their huge. And I pull up and the tractor dumps an entire load in the back of the truck for, you know, it's like 30 or 40 bucks to fill up the back of your truck. I think the tarp to cover it costs more than that.
Whose mulch pile burned all last week? Do you know who that was?
In Levine?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who that was in
it
Levine.
It took them a week to put that thing out.
They're hard to put out once they get going. You know that, and that's a composting process. That's when you're trying to make this organic material break down and turn into compost. And that can be a whole nother.
Now, it seemed like when we were growing up in the 60s here, my mom was just nuts about like the
pebble bark.
Chunks of bark.
Chunks of bark, pebble bark. But that's, you know, when we had a, what do I want to call it?
I give
places,
up.
Places that they cut big trees down and took them to and they cut them into
sawmills.
Sawmills. Thank you. There was a sawmill in Payson.
Yeah.
There was
There
was a sawmill in Winslow. There was a sawmill at San Carlos. There, you know, there was lots of
big one in Eager.
Yeah, big sawmills. Well,
they're all
those
gone.
Have gone away. So we don't, you know, the process of a sawmill. The first thing they do is take the bark
it
off the trees, and then they have these piles of bark and they bagged it up and, you know, Kaibab Industries.
Oh yeah.
All the, you know, all these places that were in the sawmill business, in the milling business. Sold bark. Well, the pebble bark thing, so that was our kind of indigenous source of a mulching material. And, you know, we landscaped differently then, too.
Boy,
we had lawns and bender board. Remember header board?
Yeah,
redwood header board.
Yeah, baby.
And then we put pebble bark in the beds. But you know what? Our plants, we grew plants that people can't grow here now. Queen palms and
mulberries,
you know,
and
olives. But all kinds of things that people have a hard time growing now because we grow them in granite now, and it's hotter. So that just proves a point that putting bark mulches around plants does
cools
work.
It, off.
It cools things down.
Diane from Scottsdale's called in. Audrey from Sierra Vista way down south has called in, and you can too at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Before we get to the first call, one thing that I often hear from certain designers and architectural this and blah, 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 is don't use mulch because it brings scorpions. Now, we talk about cleaning up wood to keep scorpions away, but I'm talking like piles of firewood. I have never seen a scorpion on a mulch bed. I mean, and we're in the desert, so naturally you're going to see a scorpion probably eventually at some point in your life anyway.
Well, you know, if you have scorpions are going to be there because there are other bugs they like to eat there, like roaches or sow bugs or, you know, I mean, scorpions are carnivorous. They eat other bugs.
I guess crickets is the biggest part of their diet.
Crickets,
right?
Yes. So if you have, thank you. If you have crickets, if you have roaches, you might end up with scorpions. Where do scorpions generally like to be? In places that attract roaches and scorpions. So old wood piles, dead trees, the old citrus orchards are notorious for having lots of scorpions because they have a lot of old dead or dying trees that then have lots of termites and, you know, crickets and roaches and those types of things. So if you keep debris picked up, you shouldn't have a problem.
Mulch
I guess
flat on the ground. Where I see them is like when you kick over boards or planks or something like that, they can crawl under. They're not crawling under these little tiny shreds of.
Generally not. That's right. You know, they're going to be under. They're going to be more apt to be in your firewood pile or your the old pallets you left laying on the ground or something like that.
Got a few of those.
You know, as opposed to, we never find scorpions in our bags, in our stacks of bags of potting soil and mulches.
Interesting.
We do find them under the pallets of things that are setting on pallets. So you're right there. I'm not saying you never will, but you're going to have. Are you going to have maybe some sow bugs and some I guess you kind of have to make the decision maybe as to what kind of plants you want to have and how pretty you want it to be, and as opposed to having, if it's a great organic environment for plants, there are going to be a few critters that enjoy that.
Well, and if you're going to water, if you're going to take care of it, if you're going to grow something, things are going to start living there. That's going to happen.
That's right.
I'm watching my neighbor really close. The guy, he doesn't have one living plant in his yard. It's all sculpted art.
Yeah.
Sculpted art, yeah, agave, sculpted art, akutia.
He doesn't have to buy any malathion.
Hey, baby, I'm watching. I want to see when he starts trimming it, what's he going to use. I think that guy, I'm going to have to go knock on his door. The man's a genius. He's an absolute genius.
There's going to be a downfall to that at some point. rust or paint or something. You know, it's going to be some kind of issue. You
and can't eat it.
That's right.
All right, let's start in Sierra Vista. Audrey, good morning, ma'am. Do we have you, or was that a technical glitch?
Connect.
We will move on to Diane and see how we can help her this morning. Diane, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, guys. Real quick question for you. I bought two peach trees from the Harper's store up on Hayden Road, and they've been in the ground in a raised garden bed with a Mills mix for about 3 months. And I think I'm killing them with kindness. I think I'm overwatering because the leaves started turning yellow. So I went to Lowe's and I picked up one of those green water light pH meters, and it shows totally wet. My question is, can I trust that? And how do you know when you're overwatering?
Well, tell me what's yellow. Are the lower leaves yellow, the leaves more towards the inside of the tree, or the new growth, the very outside layer of leaves? And how many are yellow?
I would say the top leaves are not as yellow, but they're lower down on the trunk they are, including the new leaves. And they're green, and then they start to yellow from the outside in.
From the newest growth, so the leaves that are further out towards the end of the branch turn yellow first?
Great question. I'm looking at it, and the very, very top leaves at the top of the tree.
The leaves at the ends of the branches.
Hmm.
Whether they're at the top, the side, at the very end of the branches are the newest growth.
Take this quick commercial break to investigate, inspect, and we'll come back and continue figuring out what's ailing Diane's peach. We've got a line open for you at 1-888-767-4348.